to speak only about Krishna's pastimes when he left the village of Vrindavan to start his mission in earnestness by going to Mathura and going into the bhava, into the mood of taking away the demonic armies from the world and making the world a place for dharma. We will be listening to Krishna's name a lot, we will sing a lot, we will listen and hear the description of his form, his qualities, how he thinks, and obviously his pastimes. Now, we must keep in mind that what we are hearing is something transcendental. It is not like the activities of an ordinary person. The sadhaka needs to always think about this deeply in his mind, that what he hears from the acharyas about Krishna is not a description of a worldly personality. So this brings a few consequences with it. Krishna's transcendental pastimes are to be heard in a very respectful mood. It's not really that we sit here together to hear some new aspects of Krishna's lila. That will be there, don't worry. But what we really do here is we worship Krishna with our mind, with our hearts, and with our voices when we sing. Hearing Krishna Katha or entering Krishna Katha means really to be prepared to serve Krishna in doing it. Krishna only reveals himself to a devotee who enters or who approaches him in a service spirit, not in an enjoying spirit. That's very, very important to say. Another thing I want to say is, if you do hear in the right way, that is, giving your full attention to the subjects which will be discussed and trying to serve Krishna or pray to Krishna while you are listening, Krishna can reveal himself to you. There was once a very interesting Krishna Katha thousands of years ago, where one great saint called Gokarna presented the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, to an audience. Amongst his audience was his fallen brother, who because of his very sinful activities had been cursed to take up the body of a ghost. I have heard that in the apartment of Radha Sundari there lives an intolerable ghost who disturbs the devotees so much, especially when they are in the small room which is next to the road. Then no one can sleep in that room. It's a ghost. Now, this is a small, insignificant ghost. The real ghost was Dundukari. He had murdered his mother by throwing her into a well. He had killed many brahmanas with knives. And he had done all the sinful activities which were so bad that his father finally decided to run away from home and go into the forest and fast. He was such a rascal. His death was very inauspicious. He lived with five prostitutes together, and the prostitutes, seeing how much Dundukari was stealing, finally were afraid. What if the king's men come and see Dundukari stolen wealth, and if they see that we are together with him, oh, they will torture us. So all the five prostitutes made a plan to kill Dundukari. They bound him on a bed and then began to attack him with knives. Dundukari was crying so much that they became afraid, and he was so resistant, sagt man in Deutsch, that the prostitutes just couldn't kill him. So finally it became so loud as they were trying to murder him that they took, you know, wood out of a fire and put the burning wood into his mouth to stop him crying. This is how the rascal ultimately died, and he became really a heavy, heavy ghost. So one day when his saintly brother visited the house in which he stayed, Dundukari made himself known to his brother. He took on the form of a male goat, you know, like this is the form which Lucifer prefers to take when he appears. And he just appeared in one corner and he went like, "Ah!" Gokana innocently woke up. "Who is it?" "It's your brother, Dundukari. Save me. It's so hellish here." "Okay," said Gokana. "Tomorrow I will start to read Bhagavatam for you." So Dundukari came. He came into the body of a bamboo rod. And whenever Gokana finished one day of reading the Bhagavatam to his brother and the audience of villagers, one of the knots of the bamboo stick broke. It burst. That meant that one of the knots in the heart, like lust, greed, and enviousness, burst in Dundukari's mind. So at the end of this seventh day, Dundukari was released from his from the sinful results, and he became freed. He took on a spiritual body, and the Vishnu Dutas came with a transcendental airplane to take him back home, back to Godhead. This is the power of Bhagavatam. It removes the inauspiciousness, even if you are a ghost. And I have met one ghost in this house yesterday night, so he is welcome to be with us and listen to this. It will help him, Swiss ghost. But you know, the audience was not satisfied when they saw Dundukari taking on the body of a pure living entity and going back home, back to God. They went, "We also were there listening to the Bhagavatam. Why are we still here? And why did he go?"
The Vishnu Duta said, "He listened with full attention and faith. And you listened with very little attention and a little faith, and therefore you are not delivered." And Gokana suggested, "Let us have another Bhagavatam reading in 1 month." And at that time, the same village came, listened with full attention and faith, and went back home, back to Godhead. So if you, my dear devotees, want to serve the Bhagavata-katha now, I request you very, very strongly, be attentive and listen with faith, and you will have a unique experience in your spiritual life, which will transform you once and for all, make you wonderful devotees. I will give my best to serve the Bhagavatam, and please also give your best to serve the Bhagavatam. When Kamsa heard from Narada that Vasudev had brought his eighth son out of the prison of Mathura to Vrindavan, he became furious. He fumed like a volcano. Kamsa was the most powerful demon at that time. He had wrestled with Indra, defeated Indra, and thrown the elephant Airavata on the ground. There was no one who could resist his power, not even the king of the universe. But here, Vasudev had taken his eighth son out of the prison, whom Kamsa wanted to kill so badly. And he had been successful to escape the high security prison tract. There was only one thought left in Kamsa. He wanted to kill Vasudev. But Narada Muni, the great saint who knows past, present and future, and who wanted that the Lord reveals himself, intervened. He said, why do you want to kill Vasudev? Keep Vasudev alive. Then Krishna, who is hiding somewhere, will certainly come one day to see Vasudev, because a son always wants to see the father. He always returns back to see his father. And then when Krishna comes to Mathura to see his father, you can kill Krishna and you can kill Vasudev.
Oh, good idea, said Kamsa. If I kill Vasudev, most probably Krishna will never come here.
Then I have no chance to kill my angel of death, the one who will, the one about whom the prophecy says that he will take me away. Pranvalabha, what do you think about drinking a little water and then getting it all down? So, Kamsa, the demon, thought, let me get Krishna to come to Mathura. And he finally had an idea. I will arrange a wrestling match where the best wrestlers of the country will show their skills, and I will invite Krishna to also come with his cowherd boyfriends to show their skills. And then I will arrange for my powerful war elephant, Kuvalayada Pida, to wait at the entrance of the wrestling arena, and he will take care of Krishna. And if he can't kill him, no problem. I have powerful wrestlers who will hit him at the soft spots and then take care of him. So Kamsa decided, let me get a new golden chariot, which looks just like my chariot. And then Krishna, who is a fool, will like to ride on that golden chariot. And then he will not be able to resist my invitation. He thought like this, you know, when someone sends for another person in a very good limousine, you know, these long limousines who look like the president limousine, then any fool will not be able to resist the invitation if it's a chance for him to ride in a car he has never used before. So this was Kamsa's intelligence. He was so much in illusion about who Krishna was. So offensive, so demoniac. They are village boys, said Kamsa, without any knowledge of good chariots. Surely they will love to come on my chariot. They are only used to bullock carts, so they will come to Mathura. Akrura, he picked Akrura, whom he knew was someone who was a little close to Krishna, to invite Krishna by going to Vrindavan. And it's very interesting, when Akrura was given the order to bring Krishna to his death, he thought, Krishna is Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Lord. No one can kill him, not even Kamsa. So there is no harm if I bring him. Also, I have gotten, Kamsa has given me a new chariot, not his old chariot. And on this new chariot, the dirty behind of Kamsa was never sitting and making gas. So it is a suitable chariot to bring my lord. But then he thought, in the Vats, as he came closer to Vrindavan, something happened with his mind. See, the residents of Vrindavan never think of Krishna as being all-powerful. They think of Krishna as a little child. And as Akrura was riding on the chariot of Kamsa, a new chariot, towards Vrindavan, he began to think unusual thoughts. He became influenced. He thought, Krishna is in Vrindavan and only driving on a bullock cart. He is a small little boy, very delicate. Even a leaf which falls from the tree on his skin leaves an imprint on him. What if I bring this Krishna to Mathura to confront the powerful restless? Some other great devotee has said about Krishna's delicate body that Krishna's delicate body is as delicate as yogurt. Have you ever seen nice yogurt? When you put your finger in yogurt, the finger will go just right through the yogurt. So Krishna's tender body is just so absolutely tender that Akrura thought, my God, am I doing the right thing? Later, when Akrura drove with Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan back to Mathura, his thought about Krishna's childlike nature was confirmed. Because just like little boys, Krishna and Balaram jumped up and down in excitement on the chariot, and they would remind each other of the beauty of Vrindavan. They would say things like, look at this peacock, look at this tree, look here and there, Uncle Akrura. So whenever Akrura saw the all-attractive, childlike Lord Shri Krishna, his Aishwarya bath would disappear, and he would think, what if Kamsa will harm or even kill Krishna and Balaram? At that time, his chariot would move very slow and almost stop. He felt a great hesitancy to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. he felt what is called Madhurya Bhava, which allows for the full exchange of love with Krishna. But that's all ahead. My dear devotees, I'm going ahead of me. I should stay on the course, but it is very difficult. When we talk about Krishna, everything comes to mind. His wonderful activities and his nature, that it's not so easy to stay on track, but I will try. When Akura arrived in Vrindavan, I think this is very beautiful. He saw Vrindavan, which was decorated with the footprints of Krishna and which was very, very alive. He saw that the sun was just beginning to set. At that time, Akrura all of a sudden recognized some very special footprints going over the dusty path. And he remembered that the dust from Krishna's lotus feet is thought after by the rulers of all the planets in this universe. So, as he looked at these signs on Krishna's lotus feet, Akrura couldn't stop himself. He jumped down from this high chariot, which was really high. Tears in his eyes, he fell down on the ground of Vrindavan sobbing. And he smeared the dust of Vrindavan all over his body. Then he rolled about among those footprints and loudly screamed out, "Oh, this is the dust from my master's feet." And he wept in a choked voice. It's very interesting to note that Srila Prabhupada says that to roll in the dust of Vrindavan and feel this is the dust of my Lord's lotus feet is the entrance ticket to go to Vrindavan. If you come to Vrindavan Dham, which is within the experience of some of you, my dear devotees, don't hesitate. You should immediately, forgetting all your cloth, how they are so nice and clean, and how they are so absolutely colorful, you know, you should forget your body, how it is so nice and fat and so delicate. You should immediately just jump into the dust of Vrindavan and roll in the dust and smear the dust all over the body. If you don't do this, you might not arrive in Vrindavan, but you might only arrive in a village in Uttar Pradesh. Hare Krishna. The mystical Vrindavan, the real Vrindavan, the spiritual Vrindavan, can be, in other words, approached only through the gate of humility. This is what Nityananda had told to Jiva Goswami. Shukadev Goswami makes a pause while he talks about Akrura. He has already preached for 5 days to Maharaj Parikshit, who is fasting and not drinking any water. But now Shukadev Goswami makes a little pause. He says, the very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy which Akrura experienced when he put aside all pride, fear and lamentation, and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, the point which Shukadev Goswami makes is Akura put apart pride, fear, and lamentation, and absorbed himself in the things which reminded him of Krishna. In this case, the footprints of Krishna. This is, Shukadev says, the goal of all living beings. So because Shukadev Goswami says it's so important, I will also stop here for a little, for just 2 minutes, and reflect with you what it means that Akura gave up his pride. Akura didn't think any longer, I'm Akura, King Kamsa's minister. I'm so greatly honored by the king, therefore how can I roll about in the dust of the feet of a mere cowherd boy? Huh? I think when you deal with transcendental things like the holy name, or with the footprints of Krishna, or with Vrindavan, it's important that the first thing which has to go from your heart is your pride, which keeps you in a material concept of life, so that you actually cannot bow down to Krishna or not listen to his holy name really nicely. Yes, thank you, Rangini. You have noticed some of us feeling the lamentation of the heat, huh? The heat problem. But really, this is nothing. You should have been in Russia. In Russia, we had a hall with 500 devotees where, which was exposed to the sun. It was like a greenhouse. And I have never suffered so much from the heat, you know. It was really, the sweat was coming, like you were in your shirt, it was wet, then you changed your shirt, the next shirt was wet, and then finally, because it was a kirtan retreat, I said, let's all dance, and they went like, they were all already Russian sauna, you know. I only could keep the devotees in the hall by saying, you get the sauna for free. So this is not warm, but maybe Rangini, who is the friend of all living beings, Rangini, kannst du das ja auch noch aufmachen oder so? Weil manche sehen doch sehr, sehr bekümmert aus. Ich glaube, hier geht, da vielleicht, oder? Ich glaube schon. Weißt du, was ich meine, den Händel da? Should I bring a hammer and a stone? So richtig geht es nicht. Doch, doch, du bist die Beste. Wirklich. Einfach weitermachen. Ja. Bitte, bitte, ich habe dich gesehen. So you know, Akrura was Kamsa's minister. He was a highly placed politician. In you know, he was like Putin is now the minister of Mr. Russian, you know, some Russian name, the new president. He had some reason to be proud, but he just rolled about in the dust. Then it said Kamsa gave up his fear. The fear was what Kamsa, and Akura gave up his fear. The fear was Kamsa has his spies everywhere. What if the spies come back to Kamsa and report to him that I'm rolling in the dust of his arch enemy? Then I'm, you know, that's the end of me. And he gave up all lamentation because he must have feared if Kamsa finds out that I am just a worshipper of Krishna, he will take away my home, he will torture and then kill my wife and also my children. Akrura gave up all pride, fear and lamentation because he had heard the glories of Lord Hari from Narada, and now by jumping into the dust of Vrindavan, he expressed his deep, deep desire for Dasya Bhava. That means the mood that I want to serve my Lord Shri Krishna, even if Kamsa is angry at me. I want to serve my Lord, even if it means that I will become do just very menial things, very small things for my Lord. And I will not lament if Kamsa takes revenge on me. I just want to serve Krishna. My dear devotees, behind rolling in the dust of Vrindavan is a whole philosophy. The philosophy that I want to become the servant of Krishna, and I'm not afraid of the consequences which it takes to become the servant of Krishna. This is how glorious rolling in the dust of Vrindavan is. What do you think? Would you like to roll next time in the dust of Vrindavan? Why not do it? Why not simply... My dear devotees, I am, as you know, a very eccentric, proud, and very useless person. Now, many years ago, I decided, let me roll in the dust of Vrindavan as the ultimate therapy. And what I did is, I just bound some cloth around my knees, and then I did Dandavat Parikrama, not around all of Vrindavan because I'm not so steady, but around, I would say, one third of Vrindavan. And I really could see by coming in contact with the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, some very, very good Krishna therapy takes place. And the very, very deep thing which takes place is that when you come in contact with the dust of Vrindavan, either by physically rolling or by walking through the land of Vrindavan, you will also develop a mood in your heart. When will I serve Krishna in this way? And when will I get the good fortune to see my beloved Lord? The world over was shocked to hear about the unexpected departure of Aindra Prabhu, who sang for his beloved Radha Syam Sunda in Vrindavan. You know, when I met Aindra last time, Aindra Prabhu revealed to me, "I only have one desire," he said. "When will I serve Radha and Krishna in a particular way, and when will I get the good fortune to see my beloved Lord?" This is the effect of going to Vrindavan. You will develop these desires. Other desires will just go and leave your heart. You will actually develop the desire of a devotee. It's by the dust of Vrindavan. The dust has... Why? Because the dust has the touch of Krishna. Krishna has walked over the dust, and it has a tremendous power. It reduces your pride or your material conditioning, and you will develop, "I only want Radha and Krishna." This is what is left. Therefore, my tip to you is get some good dust of Vrindavan and smear it as your preferred schminka. Schminka means, you know what is schminka? Makeup, you know, or tilak, or or cream, you know, or decoration. Just use a little from a little pot of Vrindavan. Just sprinkle a little chip every day, and something will happen. Of course, you must be tuned in. Would you like to know what happened when Akrura finally saw Krishna and Balaram? Would you like to know? Good. Good. First, when Akrura saw Krishna and Balaram, he was really shocked because Krishna and Balaram move very slowly. They don't move with the speed of an ordinary human being. It is said they walked with the gait of elephants. This is what Akrura knows. Sometimes Krishna moves very quickly. We will hear this when Krishna jumps through the whole arena of Mathura to the podest where Kamsa sits. No one could see how did he come from the ground of the arena up to the podest. He moved so fast, but usually he moves very slow with the gait of an elephant. That means for his devotees, you have to be a little patient. Krishna doesn't always come as quickly as you want him to come. Yes. Their eyes resembled lotuses in the autumn season. As they walked, they looked to the devotees with compassionate glances, and they left footprints on the ground which bore the marks of a flag, a lightning bolt, an elephant gold, goat and lotuses everywhere. Akrura could very clearly see as Krishna and Balaram walked through Vrindavan, "This is my God. These are the original personalities of Godhead." They resembled two gold-bedecked mountains. One mountain was of the quality of emerald. That's a bluish jewel. And the other, Balaram, looked like a mountain of silver. But because they had this effulgence, this golden effulgence, they looked like a silver mountain with a golden covering, and like a bluish mountain with a golden covering. This is how they looked. And they looked like this for a particular reason. They wanted to show Akrura, don't be afraid. You bring us to Mathura, it's within our plan. Don't be afraid. We will take care of the rest, all the demons. No problem for us. They gave a mountain indication. So I would now request all of you to turn around for a moment. We will have our little band here. And we will sing now a song to Krishna, Mama Mana Mandire. This is very important. And as you sing this song, I request you to meditate about Krishna. Maybe we can ask our master of the computer to show a little picture of Krishna. From dem Darshan geht es. Jetzt nicht. Good. So, Hare Krishna. So we will sing. No. Thank you.
Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari, Mama Mana Mandire, Rani Shri Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari. Bhakti Priti Mala Chanda, Bhakti Priti Mala Chanda, Bhakti Priti Mala Chanda, Bhakti Priti Mala Chanda. Chitananda, Tumi Niyo E Niyo Chitananda, Tumi Niyo E Niyo Chitananda, Tumi Niyo E Niyo Chitananda, Jivana Marana Tava Pujani Veda, Jivana Marana Tava Pujani Veda, Jivana Marana Tava Pujani Veda, Pujani Veda. Manahari, Sundarae Manahari, Sundarae Manahari, Sundarae Manahari, Mama Mana Mani. Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari, Mama Mana Mandire, Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari, Eshonanda Kuma. Harananda Kuma, Eshonanda Kuma, Harananda Kuma, Eshonanda Kuma, Harananda Kuma, Harananda Kuma, Harananda Kuma, Eva prema pradi pearoti tamar. Eva prema pradi pearoti tamar. Eva prema pradi pearoti tamar. Nayanaya Muna Jarani Bahar, Nayanaya Muna Jarani Bahar, Nayanaya Muna Jarani Bahar, Nayanaya Muna Jarani. Tomara viraye giri dhari, mama nama ni re ya ni shi din krishna murari shri krishna murari Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari. Jiva bandana gane tava jiva bandana gane tava jiva krishna murari shri krishna murari Shri Krishna Murari Krishna Murari Shri Krishna Murari Krishna Murari Shri Krishna
Hare Krishna. Please give me that piece of paper.
My dear devotees, it's a long story. It's a sad story. To discuss how Akrura convinced Krishna and Balaram in the end to leave Vrindavan, he could only do so by indicating that Vasudev and Devaki were tortured by Kamsa. It's a long story how Akrura convinced Krishna and Balaram's parents that he would take the two boys and he would be gone only for just a few days, just now coming, and then return. My dear devotees, it's heartbreaking to hear about how Krishna went on the chariot to go to Mathura in the next morning, and how the gopis and the cowherd boys, the gopas, reacted when they saw the treasure of their hearts being pulled out of Vrindavan. I will give you only one verse of Rupa Goswami to describe this heartbreaking scene. It said that the heart-rending cries, you know, the cries which came from the, which tore apart the hearts, the heart-rending cries of the gopi split stones into half. Ping! And then when Krishna and Balaram had gone and you could only see the dust of the chariot, the gopis and gopas stood there on the road for a long, long time. They didn't mind the heat from the noon sun. They just stood there in the excruciating heat because the heat within their hearts, the heats of the pangs of separation from Krishna and Balaram, they are so heavy. It is said that the, Within days, all the grass of Vrindavan dried up because of separation from Krishna. And it says that the dust became wet in Vrindavan. Do you know why? Because the dust cried tears of separation. That's intense, you know, when dust becomes wet, it means the dust is very sad. The cows stood there in Vrindavan, keeping the grass which Krishna had fed them last, you know, just before Krishna left Vrindavan, he went to his cows and he just gave them all grass in their mouth, you know, and they started to chew. But when they saw that Krishna was going on the chariot, they couldn't chew any longer. Their chewing stopped. They just, all the cows turned in one direction, the direction in which Krishna's chariot had gone. They looked in this direction. Krishna has gone. Krishna's friends were lying unconscious in the valleys near the Govardhan hill. In the kitchen of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, his beloved parents, cobwebs developed because they wouldn't use the pots any longer, Radha Kripa. No cooking in the kitchen. And that no cooking kept on for more than 100 years. The cooking only started when Krishna returned to Vrindavan. 100 years, no cooking. How did they live? You will ask. How did the dust live? How did the grass live? How did the cows live? The cowherd boys live? Well, you must know one thing. Krishna kept them alive by his own internal energy. This is how they continued to live. My dear devotees, the gopis' arms became so thin that the rings which they previously were wearing on their fingers now were worn as bangles. Please don't think, how is this possible anatomically, you know. Don't measure Vrindavan with the laws of this world. It's a land of love. My dear devotees, let us not talk about all this. Otherwise, we would just cry in the whole summer camp. We would just cry. It is not possible to remain happy. The men would no longer look into the eyes of their wives. The wives would not feed their children any longer. You would just cry for Krishna. The summer camp wouldn't work for you. So therefore I have decided to not discuss these heavy, heartbreaking subjects. I have decided to, I don't know, I have to see, when do we end? Which time do we end? 6 Uhr? Ja. Oder haben wir noch? Here, just look around. Can you understand why the Brijbasis loved Krishna so much? Look at Krishna's loving eyes. Look at his glance, which is full of compassion. Can you see the compassion coming out of his glance? Look at his flute, how he plays the flute and enters the heart of his devotees on the sound of his flute. You know, when you hear Krishna's flute as a devotee, Krishna enters your heart. So I think you can understand the Brijbasis were just heartbroken. Only a few Brijbasis left Vrindavan on bullock carts to go to Mathura. And we will hear about them in a little bit later. I will just end this katha here with a description of Akrura had to really use all his skill in charioteering. I think some of you have heard about Ben-Hur, you know, the chariot driver. Ben-Hur, I don't know much about him, so I've no need to talk about him. But Akrura had to swerve with the chariot. He had to go zigzag because everywhere there were villagers, gopis, and devotees of Krishna who just wanted to stop the chariot by throwing themselves before the wheels of the chariot. And Akrura had to just, to not cause any further harm to the bridge passes, he really had to move very, very intelligently to bring Krishna out of Mathura. Finally, they came to the bank of the Jamuna. Because Akrura had spoken to Nanda and Yashoda for the whole night and convinced them to give Krishna and Balaram just for a little time so that he could take care and of Vasudev and Devaki. He had talked the whole night. He had not slept. And therefore, in the morning, when it was the best time to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, Akrura had not taken his bath. He wanted to leave really early to avoid a big scene in Vrindavan. But of course, the scene happened anyways. I have informed you a little bit about it. So he stopped at the bank of the Yamuna. And I want to describe to you a little bit Yamuna Mai. Now, I think it's very important for you to get to know the dust of Vrindavan and Yamuna and all these transcendental personalities so that you know when you come to Vrindavan what to do and what not to do. Yamuna looked, had beaches with nice white sand which looked as effulgent as the moon beams. You can still see the moon, and I think we have a cloudless night today. You can see the moon, and you can see the soothing moon beams. So Yamuna Mai sand is described to be very soothing. Soothing heißt erquickend, beruhigend. That's why all the sadhakas in Vrindavan know that they want to go to the river Yamuna to perform their chanting and their meditating about Krishna. It's the best place. It's very supportive for bhajan. When Krishna and Balaram were coming by the Yamuna, the little fishes would always come out of the water like this and look and have the darshan of Krishna and Balaram. Also the conchas, the tortoises, were coming and putting their heads out of the Yamuna. The Yamuna looked very sweet, you know, because there were so many fish and tortoise devotees inside who, you know, had their heads out of the Yamuna. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said. They did this to catch a glimpse of Krishna who was wandering on the banks. The waters of the Yamuna are very black. Do you know why, Damodar Priya? Krishna once fell into the Yamuna. Well, another reason is that Yamuna constantly meditates about Krishna. That's why she is so black. And another reason is that the gopis take their bath in the Yamuna and Yamuna washes the black kajal from their eyes. So Krishna quickly got down from the chariot when Uncle Akrura took his bath and touched the water for purification and then drank the Yamuna water from his hand. Then Akrura brought the chariot close to a grove of trees, you know, that is eine Baumansammlung, like a hain, and invited Krishna and Balaram to sit back on the chariot for more comfort, you know, sit comfortably, I will just take my bath. So, as Akrura entered came to the Yamuna, he all of a sudden saw in the water the chariot with Krishna and Balaram. So first he thought, well, maybe this is a shadow or a reflection of the chariot. So he went out of the water again and looked, but there was this little wood, this little forest, this little grove, and there was a chariot, and Krishna and Balaram were sitting on top of it. Amazed, he went back to the water. He thought, well, the chariot, everything is all right. The chariot is still there. Krishna and Balaram are still there. They have not, that I have seen them here in the water is certainly an illusion brought about by lack of sleep. I was talking too much yesterday. I had no rest. But as he looked again in the water, he saw Krishna and Balaram again, this time lying on Ananta Shesha with the raised hoods. Then he saw saints and sadhus praying to Krishna and Balaram with loud voices. And then many more devotees came into this vision and offered their prayers to Krishna and Balaram. And Akrura started to cry in ecstasy. Wah! Folded his hands and stood in the water to recite his prayers. One prayer which he recited was a prayer which I request you to chant with me. The prayer says, O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you. In you, O Krishna, all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. Please sit down properly. Think of Krishna being in the Yamuna and Akrura is there chanting. Maybe you are a tree. This is a good thing which Krishna Chaitra advised. It's a meditation, a technique. You are a tree. You are standing next to Yamuna and you seeing with your tree body, with your tree eyes, Akrura in the water of the Yamuna, and there is Krishna and Balaram. Balaram is Ananta Shesha and Krishna is there as Mahavishnu, and you see all the great saints offering prayers. And you are now hearing how Akrura also starts to pray. Namaste, Vasudevaya, Sarvabhuta, Chayaya cha, Hrishikesha, Namastubhyam, Prapanam, Pahimang Prabho. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. So then Krishna withdrew the vision. No more Krishna Balaram, no more Mahavishnu on Ananta Shesha, no more chariot in the water, no more saints and sadhus. Akura was totally ecstatic. He came out of the water on the bank of the Yamuna, dressed himself and put on tilak, and then all of a sudden Krishna spoke from the chariot. My dear uncle, you look so very astonished and ecstatic. Have you seen something wonderful on the earth, in the sky, or in the water? From your appearance, we think you have seen something. Akrura answered, whatever wonderful things the earth, sky, or water contains, all exists in you, Krishna. Since you embody everything, when I'm seeing you, everything is seen. Then they crossed many villages, and all the people of the villages came running out of the houses, looking at Krishna Balaram having the beautiful darshan. Krishna attracted the eyes of everyone, like he does true to his word name Krishna. In the meantime, something had happened, which I request you to take note of. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men had reached Mathura. When they saw that they couldn't follow the swift chariot of Krishna and Balaram, this golden chariot of Kamsa, which was drawn by the best of horses, they took another road and went to the outskirts of Mathura. And they were so much longing after Krishna that they climbed the trees and looked everywhere. When is Krishna coming to Mathura? They were full of yearning and anxiety. They would call down to Nanda Maharaj, "Baba, are they coming or are they not coming? What happened? What happened?" And I would like to leave you with these cowherd boys who look from the trees in Mathura to the path to see whether Krishna is coming or not coming. And I will close this katha by singing just a little bit with you, Gaura Hari. It's only 5 minutes. Hare, Hare Krishna. This singing belongs to the program. I mean, some of you may have to go and do things, but it's very important. It's part of the program. It's not something, oh, now we sing again. No, no. What you have to do is, as you sing now, you have to try to go to a place of the katha which has in some ways touched you. Because the whole art of singing kirtan or chanting Krishna's name is longing for Krishna. No? So it's part of the program. It's part of the learning process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithaya, Gaura Nithaya, Gaura Nithaya, Jaya Gaura Nithaya, Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha. Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo.
One last thing needs to be done. Please turn to your neighbor. Yes, you have heard properly. Just any neighbor will do. You can also be three neighbors if it is difficult to find one neighbor. All right, now your question. Listen very carefully. The question is, die Frage ist, ja, what in this Krishna Katha, which we have heard from the Bhagavatam and the Acharyas, struck me? Was ist mir aufgefallen? Was ist mir, um es in Deutsch zu sagen, reingegangen in mein Bewusstsein? What has entered my consciousness? Please start. Now you have only 3 minutes time because we are a little over time. Please both partners talk, not just one. Vinna Priya. Hare Krishna. So, thank you very, very much for participating in your first session. We will continue throughout the summer camp. Now Krishna and Balaram will enter Mathura, and they will show themselves from a side. They will display their pastimes, which are truly astonishing and amazing. And as we will notice, their mind is always a little bit in Vrindavan. It's a very, very enchanting discussion. And I want to say, if you feel you have not yet discussed everything, please use the time. It's not that you have to discuss about Krishna only for the 3 minutes, which you should theoretically do it all day. I hope you have started. So thank you very much. See you tomorrow. But please don't leave without seeing this beautiful photo of Krishna, who looks, I mean, his whole expression is so much the expression of Bhaktavatsala, the friend of his devotees, the compassionate friend of his devotees. This is so wonderful. Hare Krishna. Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Gaur.